This evening we'll be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2 verse 3 through verse 7. That's found on page 827 in the Pew Bible. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. In the last few years, Carl Truman has come out with a book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. I haven't gotten nearly all the way through it, but he's chronicling the reality that in the modern world, that we have adopted a world and life view that you can be anything you want to be, that you can make up your own rules and that you can play by those rules. And perhaps most notably, that shows up in sexuality and our in the however you want to express yourself sexually, however you think you will be most satisfied, do that. And more recently, in the transgenderism movement. And all of this is a declaration that I am, as the self, I am the Lord. I triumph over all. My wishes, my desires triumph. And I get to start life with a completely blank slate, getting to be who I want to be and playing by the rules that I want to play with. And we might immediately say, well, that thinking would be far from us. But as we come to this passage this evening, we see that when Paul says to us, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, we're confronted with the fact, at least if you're anything like me, that even as believers in Christ, that we can be very tempted to say, I want to make up my own rules. Maybe not sexually, maybe not in terms of who we are, in terms of our gender, but in terms of how will I live life? How can I be best pleasing to God? What is the best life for me? And I doubt if we said, write down on a piece of paper the 10 words that come to mind for the best life for you, that any of us prior to reading the passage, and maybe most of us even after reading the passage, would include a word like hardship, suffering, as part of that. And yet here we have the command and the invitation from Christ to suffer hardship. Because while we may realize that, yes, I am made in the image of Christ, yes, he is the Lord, and yes, he makes the rules, when it comes to hardship, the temptation for us is to say, well, on that front, maybe I do want to be my own person and make up my own rules and be the Lord of my own life in terms of hardship. And I'll do all that and still have the desired outcome at the end of the day. And unfortunately, that's, well, fortunately, because we trust the Lord, but maybe unfortunately from the fleshly standpoint, that's not the way the world works. We don't get to design the rules. We aren't the Lord. And actually, as we will see, hardship is good for us. It's part of God's calling on our lives. Jesus is calling you and me to suffer hardship to bear fruit for him. He's really calling us to sign up for hardship in order to be fruitful for him. I want us to think about this in three different ways, and it's not the three that you might have immediately assumed. You might think, oh, well, he's going to talk about soldier, then athlete, then farmer. Actually, I think that that's, I know that's why I read to you from Proverbs chapter 30. Because what we have here is actually a New Testament example of wisdom literature, right? Here we are taken to the world, the practical world, everyday occurrences, everyday occupations, the occupation of being a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And from that, then, we see Paul calling us to this life of suffering hardship. And so, first of all, and so all three of these points, really, we can see in all three of the practical examples here. First of all, you and I are called to sign up for voluntary hardship. Verse 3 again, suffer hardship with me. There's an implication here that the hardship that the believer is called to endure is not only inflicted hardship. In other words, when we think of hardship, we might think of cancer, we might think of robberies, we might think of flat tires and things that just occur in the course of everyday life. And certainly, those types of hardship come on the believer as well. We know that the Scripture tells us that the life of the believer, the existence of the believer on this earth, is not immune from facing difficulty, the everyday sort of difficulty. But Paul here is more particularly pointing to the kind of hardships that you volunteer for, that you willingly suffer, that you choose to suffer, Timothy. I'm asking you, I'm calling you to choose to suffer for the name of Christ. You might think of the example of Moses, right, who willingly chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. Not only do we have the implication here in verse 3, suffer hardship with me, that there's a volunteerism to this, but then the three examples that are given are all the sort of thing that one signs up for, right? The soldier here is one who enlists, who signs up for this. The athlete shows up to training camp, shows up to sign up for the team. The farmer is one who has selected the occupation of farming and vocationally decided on that vocational pursuit. And of course, when we think of the army and of athletics and of farming, all three of those metaphors. Have challenges and hardships associated with them. There are opportunities in each of those pursuits to deprive oneself of comforts that other people enjoy, that other people pursue in everyday life. For the soldier, laying aside ordinary privileges, it says here, the everyday affairs of everyday life, so that he might please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Or the athlete. No one signs up to be an athlete and says, I'm going to be the kind of athlete who doesn't sweat. Right? I'm going to be the kind of athlete who doesn't strain and pull at my muscles, who doesn't work out. I remember several years into Kobe Bryant's career, he talked about the fact that he still had in his back pocket a magic bullet, because he was into his 30s by this point, and he still ate whatever he wanted to eat. He still ate all sorts of junk food, like most of us might do. And he said, I still, if I need to, can start eating a really healthy diet, the kind of diet that the rest of my teammates eat, and that'll help prolong my career at some point. Well, the athlete gives up food. He gives up pleasures as he sweats and beats his body and makes it his slave. And farming. the farmer gives up the immediate reward, the immediate return on labor that most of us enjoy about our jobs, where maybe not every day that we can see progress, but at least at the end of the week, we can look back and say, these things have been accomplished, whereas a farmer puts the seed in the ground and waits not 1 week, not 2 weeks, but month after month after month, waiting for the harvest to come. Paul's telling Timothy that Christ is calling you to voluntarily sign up for this kind of difficulty. If you're going to be a good soldier of Christ, if you're going to be a soldier in the mold of Christ and in the army of Christ, there's going to be voluntary hardships that you endure. What do we mean by that? Well, here are some practical examples. Christ calls us to willingly sacrifice time, to willingly sacrifice reputation, to willingly sacrifice certain friendships and opportunities for advancement, to willingly sacrifice sleep and rest and relaxation, fun and pursuits of personal hobbies, financial security. And we might ask ourselves, what am I holding on to? What hardship am I unwilling to embrace in order to please the one who has called me as a soldier, the one who's enlisted me? What am I unwilling to give up? What distracts me from knowing Christ? What distracts me from serving Christ and serving his people? What is more dear to me than the privilege of being close to him? If you're anything like me, that's not a real comfortable thought, frankly. It's not a particularly fun thing to think about. Because there are some things, right, for me and for you that, boy, I just am not really willing to give that up to know Christ better. Am I really willing to get out of bed earlier in the morning so I have more time for prayer? But that's what Paul is calling us through Christ to do. Suffer hardship with me. Voluntarily sign up to serve. Voluntarily sign up to serve Christ in Christ's ways. Secondly, we can see here that there is a call not only to sign up for hardship, but in the course of that hardship, we are called to submit to Christ's rules. The reality is that not all hardships make us productive for the Lord Jesus Christ. As in the sauna at the Y here not too long ago, with a guy who obviously has some Hindu background and is sitting there in the lotus position. Now, I will not demonstrate to you the lotus position because I would pull all sorts of muscles, but I can show you the quarter lotus position. And it's something like this, right? And the full lotus position would require that my feet be tucked up inside of the knees and all sorts of things. Well, he's sitting there diligently in the sauna, sitting in there much longer than I sit in the sauna, obviously seeking to accomplish some sort of goal through his hardship. But not all hardship brings about the spiritual fruit that Christ desires for us. And the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer don't just randomly endure, do they? They don't just get to choose whatever hardship they want to endure in order to accomplish their purpose. The soldier has to please the one who enlisted him, doesn't he? I imagine that there have been in the history of the U.S. Army many soldiers who could point to and say, I was up all night last night. I ran a mile and climbed a fence. I paid close attention to the way that I was dressed. And in all of those things that their commanding officer said, you weren't supposed to be up all night last night. You know, this is not about playing video games all night. Yeah, I saw you running across the field, climbing the fence to leave the base. That's not what this is about either. Or the fact that you put on your best clothes on Friday night, that doesn't earn you any points here in this army. The point is that there can be all sorts of spiritual activity that we do, but if it's not aimed at pleasing the one who enlisted us, the Lord Christ, it's not pleasing to him. It's not getting us any closer to the goal. Or we might think of the same thing with the athlete. The athlete who the text tells us, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Kids, many of you play soccer. And soccer season will be starting here before too long once again. Now, you can put the ball in the net a lot more times this season. If when the ball comes to you, you pick it up with your hands and take off running for the goal and throw it into the goal as you arrive there. And you can run around, yay, yay, look at what I've just done. But of course, you know what will happen, right? The whistle will sound and the other team will get a penalty kick. And I imagine if you do that a second time, maybe even the first time, depending on how old you are, even the first time your coach will probably take you out of the game, but for sure the second time. And if you try it a third time, you may not play soccer again the rest of the season, right? That's not going to count as a goal. The athlete doesn't get to just make up his own rules. I had the privilege, actually, a couple summers ago, the honor, really, of being the first to cross the finish line at a triathlon. I was out for a morning jog. We were on vacation. I was running around this lake. I came to the far side of the lake, and there's this big inflatable thing set up with the finish line for this triathlon. And there are people milling about there. And I ran right through the arch. I was the first through. They hadn't even dove in the water yet. I had a big head start, but I hadn't been in the water either, right? I hadn't ridden my bike. And as I came to the finish line, it wasn't really a victory. Why? I hadn't competed according to the rules. And the farmer. The farmer is free to be out tonight planting his corn. He could have done it 2 months ago. He's free to do so. But that's not going to work out very well, is it? He won't receive a crop if he does so. No one's stopping the farmer from planting the crop right now, but he'll starve if he does so. What this is illustrating to us is that actually even the rules of the world itself testify to us, right? The fact that you can't just go out whenever you want and plant the seed and expect to get a crop. The fact that you don't get to just make up your own rules and say that I'm the victor in this athletic competition. The rules of the world itself tell us that if there's no pain, there's what? No gain. If you don't play by the rules, you aren't the champion. And in a similar way, growth in Christ is done on the rules of those who sow in tears will reap with joy. And once again, the challenge for us is just like the fact that we voluntarily sign up for hardship, the challenge for us is that we want to not play by the rules. We want to be able to have our own rules. But Paul's telling us, again in verse 4, is our goal to be productive? Is our goal to please the one who enlisted us? Or are we those who serve in such a way and who live in such a way as to please ourselves? Paul's saying to Timothy and to us, we might wish to be close to God, we might want to be productive people, but if we're not willing to endure, if we're not willing to make sacrifices, if we're not willing to play by God's rules, then it's not going to happen. The book of Galatians, for the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. So if your idea of success is, I want to live a comfortable, victorious Christian life, it's not going to happen. I want to be popular and admired and stand for the truth. It's not going to happen. And we could go on and on, right? You don't get to have more sleep and a better prayer life all at once. God's calling you and me to suffer hardship willingly, and to suffer hardship as we play by the rules that He has given us. And that leads us, lastly, then, to confront at least what for me is a huge question, which is then the question of faith. And we are called here then to trust Christ to make our hardship fruitful. Right? Not all hardship is fruitful. And it's the work of God to bring the increase as we suffer. We can have the desire to please the enlisting officer, to win the prize, to see a great harvest. But the reality is that between now and when that happens, just like with the farmer, there's a lot of waiting. There's a lot of trust. There's a lot of calling out to the Lord between now and then. And we can't force it to happen. We can't force that corn to grow overnight. But we might ask, well, this whole idea of suffering hardship and playing by the rules, why would we believe that that works? How do we know that it is actually effective? Well, for the answer to that, we can go back to verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. In the life and example of Christ, the fact that we are enlisted as His soldiers, as we're enlisted in His army. And the captain of our salvation has won our salvation by following the rules, listening to the direction of the Father, submitting to and obeying the Father, but also, of course, willingly submitting himself to hardships of every kind. And the captain of our salvation is the one who shows us that God raises up the suffering one, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, that he is the one who sowed in tears and yet reaps with joy. And so because there already is a model of enduring hardship and embracing the rules, because there already is a model, then we can expect fruitfulness through being conformed unto that model. How do I know that hardship actually works and brings forth the fruit that God desires? I know because of Christ, because the one who is the model. But then we might ask, well, what right does Christ have to ask me to suffer? And the reality in that regard is that Jesus was willing to suffer and to despise the shame for what? For you. For me. In order that he might bring us to God. And it's an amazing thing to think about, that the prize for Christ on the other side of the cross, his great glory, his great well done, good and faithful servant, was you and me. That we're the ones for whom he despised the shame in order to run the race and win the prize that is us. That we are the harvest that he set out to win, to harvest. And he went through this suffering, this hardship, so that people like us have a place at this table. What right does Jesus have to ask me to suffer? Well, the answer is that in gratitude to him, we should want to suffer hardship to bring glory to his name. So we know that the model works. And we know that Jesus, because of what he has suffered for us, has every right to ask us to suffer for him. But there's, at least in my mind, one question that remained. Is it good of him to ask us to suffer? Is he good when he asks this for us? And it reminded me of a little cartoon I'd seen years ago with a family sitting around the dinner table, and the father says, "Your mother suffered all day in the kitchen to make this for us. It's only fair that we suffer a little now in order to eat it." Well, we might feel that way a little bit spiritually, right? Well, Christ suffered, but does that really mean that the loving thing for him to do is to call me to suffer? Is it good of him to ask me to do this? And this gets right to the crux of the question of faith. Are we going to trust him? Are we going to believe him? Are you going to trust when the captain of your salvation, when the judge of all the earth, or we might say in the context of this passage, not only the captain of our salvation, but the referee overall, and the Lord of the harvest, will we trust him when he says, I will reward those who earnestly seek me. Your tears will be bottled up by me. You will not sacrifice anything in the pursuit of me, that I will not reward many, many times over. Can we trust the captain of our salvation? Well, the answer to that is really that yes, of course we can. Because he knows what's eternally valuable, what's eternally good for us. And he knows the path to victory, the path to glory, the path to fruitfulness, because he has walked that path and borne much fruit, and fruit that remains. And so when he says to us, this is the model for you to be fruitful. This is the model for you to be fulfilled. This is the model for you to experience good things from me. We can trust him because in saying to you and to me, suffer hardship with me, of course, we're not only hearing from the Apostle Paul, but we're hearing from Jesus himself, who is saying, come, suffer with me. And I'm the model who declares to you that it is worthwhile. And so, brothers and sisters, on this night in which we've gathered together to primarily remember the hardship that he has endured for us, we also hear his voice saying to us, I'm committed to you and committed to your good and your welfare, so much so that I'm going to conform you to my image. And the only way that we can be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is through suffering. And so we can ask ourselves, what hardships is Christ calling me to endure? What things in this world that I'm clutching onto is he asking me to loosen my grip on in order that I might know him better? What hardships is he asking me to embrace in order that I might pursue him more wholeheartedly? Because he is the Lord of the harvest, and he will make our endurance of hardship a fruitful endeavor. He's chosen you for this role. I want to point out just one more thing in closing about the passage. Back to verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul's reminding us here and calling Timothy to realize that suffering is not meant to be an individual sport, but that there's to be a corporate component to this. And that we're to be supporting one another and caring for one another as we face, as we embrace these hardships. And at a minimum tonight, each one of us should embrace the responsibility that we have to pray for one another. And to pray for one another in the difficult struggle and battle that is the Christian life. Though each one of us can look at our own heart and our own hands and say, there are certain things that I really, really love And I know how hard it is for me to sign up my name for hardship. But because I know how hard it is for me, I can fervently pray for you as well, because I know human nature and know that it's a struggle for you too. So this is a struggle of the Christian life. But Christ is asking us to willingly suffer hardship to bring glory to his name. We started out talking about the triumph of self in the modern world. And we live in a world that really idolizes self, right? I want to be able to do things my way and my timing and be whoever I want to be. But aren't you thankful, actually, that Jesus came to save you and me from being the people that we would want to be on our own? And he came to make us not into the people we want to be, but to make us into the people we ought to be. And the people, when he's made us into those people, the people who we're able to then say, I'm so thankful that you didn't let me be who I wanted to be all along. Our desire then is not for self-determination, but rather actually for Christ to be Lord in our lives, to tell us who we ought to be and to make us into those people. And may he give us the faith then to embrace hardship, to embrace suffering, to embrace difficulty, that he might have his way with us. And even if, as he leads us through the way of the cross, may he be glorified. And may our lives, our likenesses, reflect his glory, his greatness. And may we honor him as we do so. Amen. Lord, you know us, and you know how we shrink from hardship. If there's a sign-up sheet out for people who want hardship in life, that it would be empty, that we wouldn't put our names there. And yet, Lord, we realize that this is the way in which you are conforming us to the image of Christ, the way that you are making us fruitful, that you are pruning us and shaping us and molding us. And so, Lord, we pray that even as the soldier and the athlete and the farmer embrace the challenges and are challenged to play by the rules in order to win the prize, we pray that we too would embrace the challenges of the Christian life, the challenges of being conformed to the image of Christ, in order that we might please the one who enlisted us. Thank you, Jesus, for saving and calling us out of the darkness into the light. And we are so thankful that you have not left us to just be the people we would want to be, because that would be slavery. But thank you instead for purposing to conform us to your image. Do your good work in us, we pray. Build faith in us, we pray. And we thank you most of all this evening, Christ, that you suffered and died in order to redeem people like us. Thank you for your work on our behalf. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.